Hi, I'm David Kaplan, and you're listening to the Sports Talk Live podcast. Enjoy the show. They're back. Bears have reported to Bourbonnais for the inaugural Camp Nagy. Everybody except for Roquan Smith, Ryan Pace, isn't worried. Should he be? Meanwhile, Bears have had a ton of injuries past few seasons, but Matt Nagy wants a physical training camp to build callus. Is the rookie head coach flirting with disaster, or is he right? Cubs injuries continue to mount. Now Brandon Morrow back to the DL. As for Yu Darvish, he's still weeks away, according to his pitching coach. Do the Cubs need to trade for pitching reinforcements sooner rather than later? And welcome in to Sports Talk Live, presented by the Chevy Silverado. I'm David Kaplan. Let's meet the panel for today's show, a duo from the Sun-Times, Madeline Kenny, who used to work right here at this station, and Mark Lazarus, and Jordan Cornett, the all-time leading shot blocker in Notre Dame basketball history, and my partner on radio. All right, we start in Bourbonnais. Our postcards from camp brought to you by Buffalo Wild Wings. Bears are at Olivet Nazarene University. It's Matt Nagy's first camp. It's getting underway today. All the Bears there, except for first-round pick Roquan Smith, who remains unsigned. Today at the introductory press conference, Ryan Pace didn't sound too concerned.
Yeah, we're optimistic he's here soon. It's really part of the process, Rich. Meanwhile, we're rolling forward with the guys that are here, and you know that chemistry and continuity is important. So
you guys obviously are starting early, but is there a time where you really feel like it needs to be here by?
No, there's not a set time. We know it's a process.
Yeah. All right. Any level of concern that this guy's not signed yet? We've got 8 of the top 10 picks haven't signed.
Exactly. I don't think there's any reason to be concerned at all, and it sounds like they're super optimistic it's going to get done. I think people that are really, like, they need to push the brake pedal and they need to just take a chill pill. I think next week, if he's still unsigned, then maybe you raise an eyebrow, but I don't think there's any reason to get super worried about it at right now.
Yeah, I mean, look, they're starting a week early because of this Hall of Fame game. This is not unusual at all. You got Saquon Barkley's unsigned. You got Baker Mayfield's unsigned. That said, you know, you got a new coach, a new system. You want this guy to be able to play on week one. He's going to need as much lead time as possible. It's not urgent, but it's going to get urgent faster than it will for maybe some other players.
Now, with the latest signing, 7 of the top 10, but his agent is also the agent for Joey Bosa, who had the longest holdout.
And he became Defensive Player of the Year, mind you.
And that's why they pay you the big bucks, man, because you did mention that the agent is Bosa's agent. That became a, we're not concerned about it, we're not concerned about it. Oh, wait, we're really concerned about it. And he was also an immediate impact guy, like you're looking at with Smith here. So right now, I agree with you guys. Absolutely, it's not a story at this point. But this is a guy also with his personality, how he moves. It's something he wants to handle. He's not a me-first guy. He's a team guy. But again, he plays such an integral role to this defense that needs to maintain at that high level. You want to get him in there as early as possible. So as days progress, Ryan Pace won't admit it, and that's why he's not setting a timetable, so as not to put pressure on him, but it does become a story.
I'm always amazed that it takes this long to sign for the – they're slotting for this, and it's going
to
be about $18 million.
But it has nothing to do
with all these guaranteed money and the little details like that.
It's the offset language that goes in the contract.
You'd think that everyone would have this down year after year we go through this, though.
And the funny thing was when Phil Emery was here – he had everybody signed by May, always. I don't know if he was giving in or he took guys that were happy to be taken. I don't know. We'll see. Anyway, the Bears go to work, and it's going to be a more physical training camp, according to Matt Nagy. I like that. I know it's different. There's not two-a-days and three-a-days like it used to be, but I like that they're going to hit.
Oh, that's great. You know, everybody's healthy for the first time.
Right. Here's Matt Nagy's explanation on that.
We're going to have a physical camp. There's going to be some live action that goes on. The guys know that. We told them that going into the off season here, or in the off season headed into the summertime, that it's going to be physical. And we need to callus our team a little bit. So for me, as a head coach, what I need to do is not just focus in on the offense and where they're at, but I got to have a pulse on offense, defense, and special teams. And do guys need a water break at a certain time? How's the health status of a certain player? I'll talk that through with Andre Tucker, our trainer. And so the good thing of kind of this rookie camp is for everybody, you get a little taste of that and you kind of see how the process goes, and it fine-tunes you up for the rest of the camp.
I like that they're going to go out and hit. I do. I'm old school.
I mean,
on
yeah,
it.
You're old school on it, but at the same time, what has plagued the Bears in the last few seasons?
Injuries.
Okay.
And they didn't hit.
So the only thing is, it sounds great now, but who will be one of the first people, as I will, to be critical of this if we have injuries going into the beginning of the season? What's being celebrated right now in camp is everybody's healthy. Long is healthy. Leonard Floyd is healthy. And then you want to go and promote this? It could be
well,
great.
Hold on a second.
It
you're asking them to play a violent sport. How do you learn to tackle if you don't practice tackling?
You got to preserve these guys, though, too.
I look at this two things here. First of all, callous is not a verb. Mm-hmm. And it's important that we use the English language properly.
Right, he should say we're trying to build callous.
Don't bury the lead, Mark. Absolutely.
This matters. Second of all, you know, I'm going to be looking like the sissy soft guy here. I'm worried about the long-term impacts of this stuff. We know so much about head injuries now and subconcussive traumas that every single time you hit someone, we should be curtailing every bit of contact that we can. Training camp should not be guys bashing heads for 7 weeks. The league should be stepping in and saying, you can't hit at this point. We need to be looking at the bigger picture in a league that's being, every year you're having people, you know, shooting themselves in the chest because of CTE. We're going to go, oh, we're football players. We got to go hit each other in the heads more often. I don't buy any of this anymore. It's time to move on into the 21st century thinking.
Well, they're going to play a violent
sport. Yes, they are.
Part of it is some hitting. You've got it.
You've heard from so many former athletes that say the greatest coaches and staffs were the ones that understood. Yes, it's a violent sport, but you also have to preserve these guys through 16 weeks.
Yeah, I don't think he's going to grind them up.
And at this point of their career, they already know how to tackle. They don't need to practice that. They need to work on chemistry, sure, but I don't think you need to be really aggressive. I'd be very cautious, especially with the history they've had with injuries. Like you were saying, CTE is it's very talked about right now. So I'd be cautious. I wouldn't be having
every study you look at says it's practice hits that has the biggest impact. You know, very few times during a game you have those big jacked up hits. It's every little time that an offensive lineman crashes into a defensive lineman. You're going to be adding hundreds, if not thousands, of those subconcussive impacts if you're hitting several times a week.
New England does it.
I don't
Pittsburgh
care.
Does it.
And what are their players going to look like in 10
really
years? Maybe able to walk.
And it is a really interesting thing that Mark brings up, because I wonder how the league does when they hear sound like this. I wonder if it's cringeworthy for them, because to be honest, I was thinking injuries to the season. I was thinking, you know, you don't want a guy to mess his knee up in this. But when, Mark, you do mention CT and Maddie as well, like, it is something that I wonder if the NFL thinks, hey, that's great what you're hearing from Nagy, but that's not what we want to promote in preseason.
The NFL sells violence. I get that. It's a violent sport. And you're never going to be able to curtail that from game. It's like in hockey. You're never going to be able to take those big high hits out of the game completely. But you should be doing everything in your power to at least minimize the amount of them. And doing them in July, we're 7 weeks off from the start of the season.
But they
this
don't
not
hit
be the
entire
doing that.
Season
but,
at practice. He's simply saying to get ready to play a violent 17-week season,
I want healthy,
you do need some contact.
Cognizant people he's, on my team.
He's saying he's winning another press conference, and that's what's happening here. He's catering to the fans here, and he's telling them what they want to hear. What do Bears fans want to hear? You hear Cap.
Cap's like, you're going to go out there and hit people. This team's going to be tough.
That's what he wants people. That's the kind of emotion he wants to elicit here. And you get Cap out of your seat. Well, you know how the Cap Hive works. You've got thousands already in his corner right there. So this is a message he's trying to send. We're going to be a tough defense, and that's what fans want to hear.
Cap's primitive
and
brain is excited. More hitting.
It's yet another presser that Nagy has won. And that's
they
really
are professional
what this
football
is.
Players. Part of it comes with inherent risk, and to prepare a team to play a violent 17-week season,
are you
there
not
has to be a little hitting. What do you guys want to do?
I
we're going to strap pillows on you. We're just going to touch each other. That's not reality, man.
Oh, okay.
I don't want the injuries in the short term. You're talking about career lengths. You're talking about this season. You're talking about 4 seasons from now. You should be doing everything in your power. The league should be doing everything in their power to protect their players long term, because they're going to get sued again. And the team should be doing to protect their investments. And if you have a guy who, you know, breaks his neck or busts his knee or whatever in a practice on July 27th, then that's a complete waste of millions of dollars of investment.
But guys have gotten hurt when they don't do any hitting.
You can always injury is always a risk, but you should do everything in your power to minimize that risk.
All right.
Maddie's right. They know how to tackle by now. They're 25 years old.
Well, Bill Parcells said last year, how you expect guys to reacclimate themselves with
Bill
tackling?
Bill Parcells hasn't coached in this league in, what,
tackling.
20 years. He's a dinosaur. I don't want to hear what Bill Parcells
and
has to say.
And that's the point. Guys like Bill Parcells.
George Halas wouldn't have stood for this. Put on that leather helmet and hit somebody.
That guy's unbelievable.
Come on.
All right, the Miami Dolphins made news today. They are telling their players they face suspension if they do not stand for the national anthem and instead choose to kneel in protest.
I hate the NFL.
I'm not going with you.
I hate the NFL.
Honestly, I think that the protest has been lost with everything that we're talking about. It's not even an anthem protest. It's a protest for police brutality against people of color. And by talking about it like, oh, it's disrespectful to the flag, it's kind of like, well, what were they protesting in the first place? It's gotten lost in all of the conversation. I think it's wrong to take the First Amendment right away from players. They should be able to decide whether they want to kneel or not. If a player wants to kneel or if they want to stay in the locker room like they can, sure. I mean, I think that's a protest if you don't see them on the field for the national anthem. So,
I think it's adding fuel to the fire. I think if you tell a grown man what they can't and can't do when it comes to their ideals, I think you're going to see guys say, okay, you want me to go left? You're telling me I have to go left? I'm definitely going right on this one. Nobody's going to tell me what to do. You talk about this sport being a violent one. It's also littered with alpha males. And once you tell alpha males what they believe in, what they believe to be true, and this is a protest about something, when you say that, it becomes a different
thing. See, I would like to see the NFL model the NBA. Now, in the NBA, you are not allowed to kneel, but that was done in concert with the Players
Association. They actually talked with the players.
And the league and Adam Silver, and they all got together and said, okay, what do you guys want from us and what can we do for
See,
you?
That's what the NFL, they're so...
They're finally announcing they're going to meet.
Yeah, after what? It's been 3 years of this? This is a league that's built its billions-dollar industry on the backs of people of color. And you got 32 mostly white owners saying, don't disrespect the flag, you know, and make America great again. You know, it's maddening. It's enraging. And Maddie is absolutely right. They have basically stolen the protest and the meaning of the protest from the players. The dumb fans that think that they're protesting the flag, that they're protesting this, that they don't support the troops, that's not what this is about. The owners, the league, Donald Trump, they have all taken this issue, a very serious and important issue that means a lot to these players, and they've stolen it. And they've made it into something else, and it's just this. I hate the NFL now. The NFL just enrages me.
Yeah, it is true. It's a classic redirection. I mean, absolutely, what the panel's saying here is true, and I'm watching it as a man of color in terms of this has become about a flag. There's not one person that's in this NFL that is protesting about a flag. They're protesting about what we've talked about here, what's going on right here in our city, what's going on around cities across the country.
But the message is being lost.
The message has been stolen. And that's what Mark's saying, and that's what's true here, is whether it's coming from our president, whether it's coming from owners, but this is not coming from the players, and that's what's unfortunate.
But that's why I want to see the players sit down with Goodell and owners.
But what does it fix? What does it fix if they decide, hey, we're not going to, we'll stand for the anthem? Does this fix anything about what they're talking about? Absolutely not.
No, but the NBA sat down, players, owners, commissioner, and they said, okay, how can we help your side? How can you help
our
side?
The NBA,
and they've agreed, we won't kneel.
The NBA is proactive and takes steps to address the concerns of these players. But they're active in the community in that way, where the NFL is just raking in the money.
But we're missing the point here, and we're shifting from a sports show to what's going on in the real world right now. And you'd have to take that lower third that you're seeing right there that reads about the anthem and take it away from that. Because it's even if that gets solved, that's not solving what these players were out there to prove.
And
what
they are doing,
and why they are successful, is because this is a dialogue that's going on everywhere, and you are seeing at least a movement going on that started the genesis of it with these players. So whatever happened with the anthem really doesn't matter here.
And it was a respectful protest. It's not like they were chanting, burning flags or anything. They were taking a knee or they were sitting down. It was not disrespectful at all. So that's
what's disrespectful
thing
is the way they've been treated.
But there are people that do
I understand,
feel that.
But they're wrong.
But they're
just flat out wrong.
You cannot tell someone they're wrong for how they feel.
They are assigning a meaning to that motive,
but
to that motion that doesn't exist.
Tell someone they're wrong for how they feel.
I don't care how they feel. They're wrong. They're stupid.
I'm laying out.
All right. We got to take a timeout. The Cubs had 3 days off, and now they have another injury to a pitcher, a key one. It's that Brandon Morrow heading back to the DL. But Pants were not involved this time. Meanwhile, Yu Darvish hasn't pitched since May 20th. And according to his pitching coach, he's still weeks away. So do Theo and Jed need to find more arms sooner rather than later? That plus Fraud Mello has a new team, but he won't be there for long.
Crank up the heat and turn on STL. On NBC Sports Chicago, host David Kaplan brings his no-nonsense opinion to the table in a half hour on the topics that are trending with our teams.
We got the most mismanaged basketball team in the history of the world. Which franchise made the gutsiest draft day move. I think Pack wanted to do this, and he finally got his way.
Sports Talk Live, presented by the Chevy Silverado. Weeknights at 6 on NBC Sports Chicago.
White Sox off until tomorrow, but their future on display tonight right here on NBC Sports Chicago at the top of the hour. Michael Kopech on the bump. Aloy Jimenez in the lineup. Charlotte Knights take on Pawtucket's Red Sox. And you can get the next Sox again at the top of the hour right here on NBC Sports Chicago. Brandon Morrow, this time wasn't taking his pants off. Instead, he has right biceps tendonitis, and he is on the DL, backdated to the 16th. So this is an issue they have got to go address.
Yeah, for sure, because he's definitely your best closer. He has 22 saves this season, and I mean, at least he wasn't taking off his pants this time, but I mean, their entire pitching they have to address. With Yu Darvish still out, weeks away, that's definitely concerning, but they got to figure out what they're going to do with their closing
position. All right, let me ask you, Cap, because I'm the Mets fan, you're the Cubs fan. I do not want to see the Mets trade Jacob DeGrom. He's the best. He is the best pitcher in baseball this season.
Other than Scherzer.
He is the best pitcher in baseball this
other
season.
Other than Scherzer.
Mark, you're taking it to a good place.
What would you give up for him? Because I've seen you. It would have to involve Happ and Russell and some other guys. Like, how badly do you think the Cubs need? There's other options out there that would come cheaper, obviously, but you're not going to do better than DeGrom. What are you willing to give up?
I would put Ian Happ in a deal. I would put Addison Russell in a deal.
You would.
Deal.
Both of them.
You'd have to give up your prized possession in the minors.
Hannibal
Alzolay.
Yes.
I mean,
no question.
DeGrom's under control
want pitching
for a couple
back.
More years. I mean, there's a lot. It's not like a rental.
That is the ideal situation for the Cubs.
He would
in
impact
all honesty.
Three postseasons.
Yeah.
This and two more.
But let me tell you why that makes the most sense. And I'm glad you brought DeGrom, because I've been flirting
Don't
with this one for weeks.
Oh,
here's
God.
The thing. If it was those three that we just mentioned, Addison Russell, say goodbye. You're trying to play for Machado after this year. He's a rental in L.A. You've got the money to bring him in. He's talked about his interest to be in Chicago. This is the perfect situation. However,
you're getting Machado and you're getting Bryce Harper now?
Well, no, forget Bryce. Although, maybe so. Cubs got the money. But at the end of the day, it's probably going to come down to giving up Kyle Schwarber, and along with Happ, and along with a piece from the minor leagues. And at that point, is it worth it? I'll ask you, Cap. Is it worth it to go Schwarber, Happ, and probably somebody from the minors with the Cubs? Most likely their top
Schwarber,
pitching prospect.
Schwarber, Happ, and a prospect?
That'd be interesting.
Boy, you're giving up an awful lot. An awful lot.
But again,
he transforms.
But again, that is somebody you control for how many? Three seasons?
The rest of this year and two more.
Two more seasons.
To throw Lester and DeGrom at the top of your rotation? Good God.
If it becomes Russell over Schwarber and that becomes the deal, I don't think twice.
If the Mets are smart, they move.
They're not. They never are.
They move.
It's important to note that.
Also, Yu Darvish is weeks away, according to his pitching coach, Jim Hickey. He was playing catch today at Wrigley. That's baby steps, but again, weeks away means you got to go out and address your rotation. Whether that's Jacob DeGrom, Jay Happ, Jeremy Hellickson, somebody.
Jay Happ, Northwestern boy, bring him in.
What is this, the Sandlot? I mean, how long are we talking about Yu Darvish playing catch?
I mean, he hasn't even started a game since May, so this is concerning. He had a rehab start. It seemed to have gone well, but then we had some kind of setback. I think you have to address the issue. He's not going to be a solid guy that's going to come back, and pitching is an issue. I think your window of opportunity for the World Series is coming to a close, as much as I don't want to say that.
Coming to a close?
Oh, yeah, you only got a few more seasons, I think.
You said that in front of Cap.
A season's a long way to
you
go.
You said that in front of Cap. Man, you guys are really taking shots.
Cap's not sleeping tonight now.
Man.
Long way to go. You got Chris Bryant you control for, what, three more years
after
this?
The question becomes, do you go rental with a guy like Lance Lynn, or do you go for the big dog and go for DeGrom here? But no question, you got to go with somebody in pitching. I think you take the swing. I think you take the big swing. The Cubs got the best record.
You also need a bullpen arm.
True.
Zach Britton or somebody.
Yeah, absolutely. And at this point, I mean, the Cubs are the best record in the National League. Like, this team is there. You saw what the Dodgers did. All the focus was on the Brewers in the division. You got to look past the division now. And you got to worry about the National League as a whole. And that roster is murderer's row out there in L.A. with Machado.
All right, basketball news today. Adrian Wojnarowski reporting that Carmelo Anthony has been traded to the Atlanta Hawks.
Wow.
In a deal that will send Dennis Schroeder over to the Oklahoma City Thunder. It will also save Oklahoma City north of $60 million. Atlanta will buy out the contract of fraud Melo Anthony, and he will then be able to sign wherever he wants. It's believed he's going to go to Houston. Jordan?
I don't understand this. I don't understand what Melo's doing to his career here down the stretch. I mean, Atlanta? Like, what? How's this?
They're going to buy him out, and then he'll be out of there.
And
then he'll end up in Houston.
Is he going to for sure end up in Houston? Because if ultimately he ends up in Houston, great. Atlanta cleared space in this. Is that the deal with Atlanta? This is all developing. I'm hearing about this now for the first time.
Is there enough ball to go around?
Gotta be honest. This is crazy to me.
Is there enough ball to go around with Harden and Anthony on the same team?
I think it's a great fit in Houston. Yeah. I love it in Houston. I mean, if he cannot be a ball stopper, if he can say, hey, look, I was great like five seasons ago.
Big if coming up.
I just need to be a catch and shoot guy with this team. And with what they had, look, if Chris Paul was healthy in Game 7, they might have been in the NBA Finals. And what they were missing was a guy who could consistently knock down three-point shots. Carmelo didn't do that last year, but if he can find lightning in a bottle and be the Hall of Famer it's a good fit.
Carmelo needs to understand that he's not a super elite player anymore, but Carmelo really thinks he's a super
You guys better put respect on Melo's name, though. That guy's a Hall of Famer. He's gotten a lot of buckets. And in Houston, with the right fit, he can propel them to a championship potentially.
The Bulls didn't get him. Corey Crawford is back. Well, back in Chicago, at least. He has not skated yet. It's not good. But will he be ready? And will he be the starting goalie for a playoff team?
Join NBC Sports Chicago at Wrigley this summer for Authentic Fan Nights, featuring free giveaways, cheer cards, and live broadcasts in Gallagher Way before the game. For more information, including dates, visit NBCSportsChicago.com/CubsAF.
Corey Crawford is going to put skates on for the first time in months. Will he be healthy?
He better be, or this team's not going anywhere. I mean, Cam Ward, whatever, you have him as a backup, that's fine. He has not been a starting caliber goaltender in 7 or 8 years now. So we're gonna hear from Crawford at the convention next Friday. It'll be the first time he's talked since that ill-fated trip to Arizona where he skated for half a morning skate and then disappeared forever. But, you know, a lot of things have to go right for the Hawks to become a playoff team. But, you know, Taves has to score more. Saad has to bounce back. You need a left wing for Kane. Defense has to get better. Keith's got to find the fountain of youth. But at the top of that list is Corey Crawford has to be healthy.
Do you think the reason why the Blackhawks haven't really been clear on their direction or their plan for the future is because they don't know how Corey Crawford is?
It's possible. They all say, I mean, every time you talk to them, they get a little less cryptic saying, oh, he's going to be there, he's going to be there, he's going to be there. The fact that he's coming to the convention certainly lends
good
credence
sign
to the idea that he is.
A part of this feels like watching Pacquiao knock out Matisse, which we saw this past week, a 39-year-old who got a knockout who's a legend, and you're like, man, this is really cool. It feels like watching the Blackhawks in that way. Are they the team that before, like Pacquiao was a legend, or are they aged?
They've got the star power, but it might be towards the bottom end.
Feels like it.
Gang, thank you for being here. That is a wrap for Sports Talk Live, a spirited one, presented by the Chevy Silverado. Charlotte Knights baseball is next. Michael Kopech on the bump. Have a wonderful evening. We'll see you tomorrow. We get the Cubs game tomorrow. Hey, thanks for listening to the Sports Talk Live podcast. Remember to watch the show weekdays on CSN and visit csnchicago.com for previous episodes of the podcast and all the latest sports news and highlights.